title of the study for this afternoon is based on Paul Tripp's chapter 8 of War of Words titled Getting to the Destination. And as I said, since we have only a short time, I'll just go as far as I can and then finish it up next week. As the title suggests, the subject is, or the study is turning to some more practical aspects of dealing with our war of words, and he describes it as he opens the chapter as having some sense of the early chapters of the study laying a lot of groundwork, but in a sense looking a little further down the road and saying, but you're not actually answering my real practical questions. And he's done that deliberately because his observation is that if you jump immediately to just trying to treat the symptoms of the war of words, that you'll never get to the heart of the matter. And so he's very deliberately spent a great deal of time talking about the hard issues. An illustration that you could have of that is that that there are a variety of weeds that might grow up in your garden that you might trim the tops of and think that you've dealt with your weeds, and yet you've never, you may have trimmed them down to size, but you haven't uprooted them, which is what's necessary. You need to uproot the weeds out of the garden. And so Tripp has spent this time in the background and laying the foundation to deal with the hard issues that give rise to the war of words. But it is good and it is right to talk about our destination. We've started this study to talk about having godly conversation and treating and dealing with the conflict that often rises up between, even between believers, that can be characterized as a war of words. So he has a number of practical steps in this chapter that we're going to talk about today. And the first one that he lays out is to not give in to regret. This is an important place to start, because as you might well know from your own experience, that it's very easy to be overwhelmed by the mess that can be made. Just think about it in practical terms. Kids, if you're cleaning your room and your room is just a downright mess, it can sometimes seem like, why bother? Or it might seem like it's a hopeless thing to do. And it can be overwhelming when you look at it that way. Your words can create a mess as well. And sometimes it can feel very overwhelming. When you and that sense of being overwhelmed can be directed at self, as you come to recognize more and more the part that you have played, the part that I have played in making the mess. And as I look at the way my words have sinfully wronged someone else, it may seem like there's no going forward. And that's the type of regret that Tripp is talking about. Regret can also be directed at God. There is something of a game that we play that Tripp identifies as the if-only game. It says, if only so-and-so had not said that to me. If only I had a little more patience. If only the timing of this happening would have been different. And underlying all of those if-onlys is really an accusation against God and a regret at God's timing and his dealing with us. To address this regret, we need to recognize, first of all, that God's timing is perfect. He reveals himself and he gives knowledge at a perfect time. I've been reading in the Gospels recently, and one of the things that I was amazed at, that Tripp also mentions here, is that towards the end of Jesus' life and ministry, one of the things he said to the disciples was, "I have many more things to tell you, but you can't bear it. I will tell you later through the Holy Spirit." And there's a recognition there by the Son of God himself of a progressive nature of his kingdom work in us and the timing that God uses for us. That timing is something that we need to rest in. Just as God dealt with his disciples, he deals with us. And regrets can disable us if we blame God for either not equipping us or not changing our situation or whatever the case may be. We need to come to rest in God's perfect timing. Secondly, we also need to recognize that the God who forgives is also a God who restores. And he rebuilds what has been lost. And I especially like something that Tripp said in this chapter that I'd like to read to you. He quotes from Joel 2:25. Scripture promises that God will restore what the locusts have eaten. It's important for us to remember that the God who forgives also restores, rebuilds, and reconciles. As we live in light of the new things he has taught us, we will experience restoration in places where we had long since given up. Through our present obedience to the new insights, God works to restore the damage done in the past. I've seen this take place again and again with parents, friends, and married couples who are tempted to believe that the damage of the past could never be undone. And that leads to a second practical step, which is to embrace gospel hope. And I'm going to pause right there. But you can already see how instrumental this is practically to not give in to regret, but to recognize that God is perfect in his timing, that God restores and rebuilds, and that does give hope. And I imagine that if you're like me, that when I see the mess that has been created by the war of words, and I see my own part in that, that it can seem overwhelming, and those regrets can be there. But God does restore, and God does rebuild, oftentimes beyond our expectation. And embrace gospel hope then, and we'll pick up there when we pick up the study again next week. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that you are a God who forgives our sins, and that you are a God who restores what the locusts have eaten. And God, we confess our sins to you and acknowledge that by our sins that damage has been done, and we accept responsibility for that and acknowledge that. And we pray, Lord, that we would come to recognize the practical steps to restore that you do set in front of us. Lord, we pray underneath all of that, that you would give us hope, that we would see your hand at work in us and among us, that you would restore broken relationships, that you would rebuild those things that have been torn down, that you would reconcile the things the relationships that may have been hurt by our sinful words. And Lord, I pray that you would guard us against the regrets that come because of that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.